The message today is the precious gift of Luke, the beloved physician, to his friend Theophilus. Luke chapter 1. I want to read several passages because what Luke tells us about this gift to Theophilus, we want to compare it with other writings in the Word of God. I'm reading from the 1901. It will be a little different from what you have in the King James. And I especially want you to notice the way I read it because the differences are very important. So listen carefully now and we'll hear how the Gospel of Luke came into existence. Luke 1 verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to draw up a narrative concerning those matters which have been fulfilled among us, even as they delivered them unto us, who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having traced the course of all things accurately from the first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty concerning the things wherein thou wast instructed. An introduction that is without any superior introduction to any book in the Bible. Listen to it once more. Listen carefully now. For as much as many have taken in hand to draw up a narrative, what they're doing is composing some account about the Lord Jesus, and many have taken in hand to draw up an account, a narrative concerning those matters which have been fulfilled among us, even as they delivered them unto us, who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having traced the course of all things accurately from the first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty concerning the things wherein thou wast instructed. Now, let's look at Proverbs chapter 25 in the Old Testament. In this instance, it was Luke himself who was doing the writing. But now in Proverbs 25 verse 1, it says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. So here are proverbs that Solomon composed, but the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, he copied them out. Now turn to Exodus. Turn to Exodus. Chapter 34. And look at verse 27. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. And I could read to you from Deuteronomy and other portions as well about Moses and his writings. Now, Let's look and see in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. All these things, God willing, I will seek to put together after I give you these passages. Galatians chapter 1, verse 18. Paul is telling about his conversion and the things that he did after he had trusted Christ as Savior. It says in verse 18, "Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas," this is the Apostle Peter, "and tarried with him 15 days. And now the last passage that I'll read, though I want to bring many more to your attention, turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1, verse 17. John says when he saw the Lord Jesus, "that I fell at his feet as one dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell. Write, therefore, the things which you saw, and the things which are, and the things which shall come to pass after these things." Now let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for what you have written to us in the Bible, and we are so thankful for the explanations that you give as to how it came about. Let us know that the world knows nothing about how it came about. There are some men of the world who have spent their lives studying it, trying to interpret it, understand it, but we are thankful that all that we need to know as to how it came about, you have told us in the Bible itself. We pray that we shall take to heart the things that we've read, because they are your explanation of the Word of God, and that having understood it, that we shall have a foundation upon which to think about the Bible and to interpret the Bible and to understand the Bible. So by thy Spirit, help us as you help those who gave us this Word of God in which we've read this morning. Let us know our sins, our God. We confess them. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you this. Have you ever read anybody else's letters? Yes. Well, if you were going to be self-righteous and say no, probably I could prove you wrong, but what we have done this morning is to read somebody else's letter. It was a letter that Luke, the beloved physician, sent to his friend Theophilus. But I'm so thankful that this letter that was personally dedicated and a gift from Luke to Theophilus, that Theophilus made it available to all of us. Recently, I secured 2 books about letters. One of them was a book containing letters from before the coming of our Savior, and others after the coming of our Savior, almost up to modern times. And what has happened is that some of these letters that were written to people were preserved and passed down from one generation to another, and finally, one generation says, well, they are not private anymore, and so I will sell them, I will turn them over to this institution or this museum so they can be preserved and they can be read and researched by historians and others that are doing this kind of work. Well, what God has done is this. For ever so many years, until the time that Moses came upon the scene, all that God had told man, we have no record that it was written down, but the Father would tell it to his Son, and then that Son, when he grew up, would tell it to his Son, and then to his Son. And so you have what is known as oral tradition. I'm so thankful for this, that finally the time came when God himself was speaking not just to our parents, Adam and Eve, not just to Cain, not just to Noah, but he was speaking to Moses and the children of Israel and ever so many other individuals after that. And what would have happened had God not commanded that these things be written down? First of all, they would have been forgotten. They would have been perverted because people would add to them and take away from them. And because of that, we would say, well, it happened something like this. I have a record, just as I've heard. I have a record, and it's on good authority that these things happened to your ancestors four generations back. But they have no proof of it. It's just something that they heard. It's been passed down. But then there are embellishments, and then there are subtractions, because we do not like it that this was told about one of my grandfathers, and so we'll leave that out. And another thing, why, this is something that he accomplished that nobody's told about. We'll add that. Well, in the case of what we have in the Bible, we have only what God wants to be there. And what is there was put there in a great variety of ways. This is the remarkable thing. Some things, it was not left to man to decide, to think good, that he should make an account of these matters. But God said to Moses, now, what I have told you, I want you to write it in the book. He says it over and over and over again, in Exodus and in Deuteronomy. And whenever events occur that are of great importance, God says, write these things down. And that is the way that we have some of the things that occurred in the Word of God. But think now. In the case of Moses, which God told him to write down, they were the historical occurrences that Moses himself experienced. What does it mean? Why, when the children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea, Moses was there and he saw it. And when Miriam led the singing of the children of Israel in that song of salvation, Moses was there and he joined in the singing. And when these things occurred, God said, now, you write these things down. And so they are written down and we have them preserved in writing. Thank God for that. But in the case of others, in the case of the Proverbs of Solomon, long after Solomon had died, these Proverbs that he had written down were taken by the men of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, and they were looked over, they were sorted out, they were selected and arranged, and we have them, as I read to you in Proverbs chapter 25. So here is another way the Word of God came into existence. But when you pick up the book of Psalms, why, here are 150 Psalms, each one numbered with so many verses, that isn't the way it came at the first. At the first, a psalm was given to Moses, a psalm was given to David, a psalm was given to Asaph, a psalm was given to Solomon. Here you have all of these psalms, but God at times lays it upon the hearts of certain qualified individuals to take these writings and arrange them and put them in book form and then pass them down to the people of God. The writing of Luke is different from all of these things for this reason. If we read in the Gospel of Matthew concerning the things that happened in the life of Christ, they are things that happen, and Matthew was there when they happened. If we read the Gospel of John, the things that John records were the things that happened when John was there, and he records them, other than some things that God gave by special revelation. When John was not there, or any other human being was there, like this. John starts out, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John could not have known that of himself. It was a special revelation from God. And in like manner, when we read in the book of Genesis, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." Moses, no one knew about that. The only one who could have known about it would be some angelic being, the ones who were there when God brought this universe into existence. They could have told Moses how it came into existence. But there are some things that the ones who wrote of the things experienced personally. Some of the things they wrote about, they could have known nothing about. They were given these facts by revelation, but others, and this is what is so important about the Gospel of Luke, it is different from the other Gospels in this respect, the Gospel of Matthew and John, that Luke was not personally an eyewitness, but he wanted to learn with exactness all the things that happened in the life of Christ. And he wanted to know things that happened before the birth of Christ. And because of that, it said, "Now many other people have undertaken to write a narrative and deliver them unto us." He said, "That being so, it seemed good to me also to do something similar." But the difference between the other accounts, declarations, treatises that the others wrote, what they would do is they would remember a certain event in the life of Christ and they would write it down, and then they would remember another. They would recall a parable that Christ spoke. They would think of a miracle that Christ performed, and they would write these things down. And so, in no particular order or arrangement, and with no degree of completeness, they would give to people that they knew the things that they had written. That was an excellent thing. I'm thinking how fortunate we are. If you told me, "I want you to turn to the book of Nehemiah, I want you to turn to the book of Obadiah," I could open it. But until printing came along, such a thing was unthinkable. Why, if one man had a portion of the Bible, if he had the book of Isaiah, that was a wonderful treasure. And so, if a person wanted to know about Isaiah, they would say, "Well, our brother Ben-Hadad, he has a copy of that book of Isaiah. Let's have him to bring it to us and we can read from that tonight." That was a glorious thing. But finally, God had all the Old Testament written, and then those men that were competent and led of God brought it all together and put it in the form similar, not exactly, but similar to what we have today. Now, in like manner, The same thing happened in the New Testament. I say, turn to the Gospel of Mark, and you're able to. Turn to the book of Galatians, and you're able to turn to it. Turn to the book of Revelation, and you're able to turn to it. Understand that for 100 years, the church wasn't able to do this. One might have a Gospel of Mark, and he would bring it, and he would read from that. And another one would have a Gospel of John, and he would read from that. But finally, thank God, all of these books composed under the direction of God were brought together and placed in the order that we have them. Today, we have it in a certain order, and I thank God for it. But what we have today is not what they had from the first. And the indebtedness that we have to Luke, the beloved physician, is immeasurable for this reason. You do not know how many things we are going to think about in the will of God at Christmas time that you would never be able to think about unless it had been for Luke, the beloved physician, and as he said, it seemed good to me also to draw up a declaration, a treatise, of those things that had been fulfilled among us. So, if you want to tell the Christmas story this year, if you wanted to tell about Jesus being born in Bethlehem of Judea, you couldn't find it unless you had the Gospel of Luke. If you wanted to know about Jesus being born in Bethlehem of Judea by the decree that went out from Caesar Augustus, you wouldn't know it unless you had the Gospel of Luke. If you wanted to know anything about the Lord Jesus as a child and as a young man until he was 30 years of age, you would know nothing about it other than reading the Gospel of Luke. You wouldn't understand about the birth of the Lord Jesus through Mary taking its natural course, and when the fullness of time came, she was born. And you start thinking of all the things that you know, and you only know them because you read them in the Gospel of Luke. You like that incident about the Good Samaritan? You wouldn't know about it unless Luke had told you. Do you remember those 10 lepers that were healed and one that came back and gave glory to God? You say yes. You wouldn't know it unless you had read in the Gospel of Luke. Do you remember about Zacchaeus climbing up the tree, the sycamore tree, and the Lord Jesus calling him down? You wouldn't know anything about it unless Luke had gathered that information and given it to us. So if you think about it, what is so remarkable is that the indebtedness that we have to Luke is so great that much of the things that we take for granted and that we know at Christmas time and all the stories that we've been told as children, you would never have known them unless Luke, the beloved physician, had written them for his friend Theophilus. And so what you're doing this morning is reading a letter to another man. This man had this letter written to him, and he has shared it with us. And thank God for it. Now, Luke's gospel is unique in this sense. He tells us more about how he went about composing his gospel than any of the others do. Luke says this. He said, at one time in my life, I didn't know everything that I know now. He said, I saw fragments written, many took in hand to draw up a narrative, and I would read this part and that part, but I didn't know very much. He said, but it seemed good to me to look into the matter and search out everything I could lay my hand on about Jesus Christ and all the things that were done during his lifetime, and I diligently undertook that, and what I've done now is to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, of the things which have been fully accomplished among us, and the things that we know for certainty have come to pass. Now, think how invaluable this testimony is. Right now, if I ask you, what do you know for sure? What are you certain about in the life of Christ? How do you know he was born in Bethlehem? How do you know that Mary was the virgin and Christ was miraculously born? How do you know those things? You would not know them unless Luke had looked into the matter and recorded these things, and Theophilus had shared that letter with us. That's why it's so invaluable, that Luke did not know these things any more than you know these things. But he said, I'm determined to find out about these things. And what he did was to go and examine every witness that he could speak to and all the testimony that he could gather. He diligently applied himself, and when he heard these things, he would check out everything that he had heard. And he would go into all these details, and then he said, now, having examined everything accurately, I'm writing you this account that you may know the certainty of the things that you believed and that have been fulfilled among us. Thank God for the Gospel of Luke, because if I ask you about some things that happened in the life of Christ, you may say, well, I think this happened, and I'm not certain as to how it happened. Luke would never record such a thing. When he heard something that happened in the life of Christ, he would get it verified by the eyewitnesses. And this is why I rejoice in the book that I read from. And this is why I look with derision upon all of those who write about Luke and criticize him, who are 2,000 years separated from Luke. And Luke said, I spoke personally to those that were eyewitnesses, those that saw Christ perform these miracles. I have spoken to those who saw Christ speak these parables. I have spoken to the Apostle Peter, who was there when he was sinking beneath the water and Christ saved him from drowning. I have spoken personally to these eyewitnesses, and this is my account. Now, let me challenge you to do this. You go and read all these criticisms on the Gospel of Luke, how they say, Luke was wrong here, and this never happened in the life of Christ, and Christ never spoke these words. I say, tell me, you got this information from eyewitnesses? You were there? You lived within the lifetime of those who saw Christ when he was raised from the dead? You know those who personally were present? Did you see blind Bartimaeus? Did you see the widow of Nain's son? Did you see the Virgin Mary? Did she tell you about these things? I don't need to know about those things. I'm superior to Luke and all of those. I laugh in their face for this reason. Luke tells you honestly. He said, I have examined from the first. I've looked into the matter. I've checked out everything thoroughly. I have it from eyewitnesses. Now, I'm writing it to you. This is what Luke says. And then these higher critics sit upon, in judgment, upon Luke and pull all that he wrote to pieces. I laugh in their face because you take what Luke has written and the way he has given it to us, and then you take what they say, and only a man who is a fool, a learned fool, would say, well, I reject Luke, and I take what these learned scholars today say. This is the folly. And so I thank God for that incomparable gift that Luke drew up, this narrative, this declaration that he put together after a painful examination, months, perhaps years, gathering all this information together, and then he puts it together. Now, let me show you the difference between what Luke honestly tells us and what the others tell us. David says that the Spirit of God was upon my tongue when I spoke. And Peter tells us concerning Old Testament writers, no prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So, if the Old Testament Scriptures were given by inspiration of God, do you think that the account of something even more valuable than all that God has recorded for us in the Old Testament is without inspiration? That is so foolish for God to tell us by inspiration about Moses and Joshua and David and all the other dignitaries in the Old Testament. This is by inspiration. And then God sends His Son from heaven, and His Son speaks words the likes of which no man ever spoke before. And He says, well now, these will just be left to chance. You may have what He says, and then you may not have what He says. It is absolutely folly to think about things in such a way for this reason. The Lord Jesus told His apostles, He said, now, after I'm gone, the things that I've done, I shall bring them by the Spirit of God to your remembrance. So He promises them that all that He did and said, the Spirit of God would bring to their remembrance. And He did. And He said, the things that I am not able to tell you, now the Spirit of God will guide you into all the truth. And the Spirit of God will tell you things to come. So, what we have in the Old Testament, we have in the New Testament as well. And even though Luke does not tell us this, only on certain occasions does Paul tell us about his inspiration. This is what he says in 1 Corinthians. He said, if any man thinks that he is spiritual and a prophet, let him take knowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of God. All these things were the commandments of God, but only in this instance does he tell us that they are the commandments of God. And finally, Peter tells us about the wisdom given unto the Apostle Paul, and he speaks of his writings as the other Scriptures. So what we have is this. We have Luke, who has given his life to giving us an account of certainty and accuracy and fullness that none of those who wrote before have given unto us. Mark gives us a brief account. Matthew gives us a fuller account. John gives us his special account. But Luke gives us his account, and it is more diligently searched out, and it cost him more to give it to us than any of the others. Because Matthew could sit down and think of the things that he had heard Christ say. Think of the things that he had seen Christ do. But Luke had never seen these things, and therefore he had to go and speak to those who had seen these things and say, tell me about them. Now, I read to you in Galatians about Paul going and being with Peter for all those weeks after he had been saved so many years. Tell me this. What do you think that he was talking to Peter about for all those weeks? You say, why, the wonderful things that Peter experienced when he was with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, of course. And now, Luke, who is the companion of the Apostle Paul, can hear what Peter had told the Apostle Paul, and now Paul can tell Luke, the beloved physician, and Luke goes and gets information from Mary. How do you think Luke knows about the virgin birth of Christ? What Gabriel came and told Mary? He could only have learned it from Mary, or someone whom Mary told. And what Luke says is that I undertook to draw up a narrative, and I've searched out all these things accurately, and now, Theophilus, I put them in order, and to a fullness like all of these, not Matthew, Mark, and John, a fullness like none other exists. Here it is, and I'm giving it as a gift to you. And so Luke's gift, Theophilus, has become Luke's gift to us. So thank God for Luke, the beloved physician. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you and acknowledge our indebtedness to men who, unlike Matthew and John, who were not apostles, still have desire to record for us the precious things in the life of Christ. We thank you for all the labor that he undertook. We are thankful that he wrote it down and that you preserved it for us, that now we know all these things that we are going to think about in your will at Christmas time, all these precious truths, because of the gift of the beloved physician, Luke, to his friend Theophilus. We thank you for our indebtedness for all of those who have spoken to us and recorded for us and saved things for us. And now we know the truth of God. We can depend upon it. And the foundation is upon the infallible word of God. We thank you for what we've read this morning. We thank you for the treasure that is now ours. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.